Well, this year we've been talking about how to live our biggest lives. Somebody say, big living begins with big believing. Come on, say, big living begins with big believing. Are there any believers in the house today? All right. Now, we're in a room full of potential today because the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes. And we know today that faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. B-I-G. When we believe in God, it enlarges our life. If you have a Bible today, let's jump right into this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I actually think this was one of, if not the first scripture that Anna ever memorized. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And here's what the word says. It says, for we walk, somebody say, we walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, sight is a sense. You have five of them. For we walk, though, by faith, not by sight. We don't walk in the sensory realm. We don't walk in the natural. God gave us our senses, and we're not to exclude them. He gave us them so that we can engage the natural world around us. But the Bible says we don't walk by them. We walk by something else. The Apostle Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. That tells me today, faith is bigger than my sight. What my eyes can do, faith can do even more. Faith gives us the ability to see beyond or farther than what I can see with my eyes alone. That means that faith gives me vision into the supernatural. There's the natural and then there's the supernatural. The supernatural is the realm of God. The supernatural is the realm where impossibility becomes probability. It's the realm where God is, where there is no such thing as impossible with God. And see, by faith, I can see myself walking in victory even when I'm still living in defeat. By faith, I can see myself happy even when I'm still sad. By faith, I can see better days ahead when all hell's breaking loose in my life right now. By faith, I can see plenty on the way when I'm living in poverty. By faith, we see stage 4 cancer patients healed by Jesus' stripes. By faith, we can see the impossible and what's impossible with man becoming possible with God. Because by faith, we can see beyond where we are to the place where God said we can be. By faith, I see myself occupying and entering into every promise of God. That means that believing in God changes what I see. It gives me the big picture. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, it's about time for you to see the big picture. Now look at your other neighbor you just rejected and tell them, you can see it too. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. I thank you that it's alive and it's able to activate the faith in our hearts. Father, I thank you that faith is about to come by hearing and hearing by your word. And I thank you that as faith arises, you enlarge our capacity to walk in everything you've already accomplished at the cross of Calvary. I pray that this would be a morning of possession. Father, that we would reach out by faith and receive everything you desire for us. Most of all, if there's anyone here today that does not yet know your son as their savior, that this morning they would see your goodness and what you did at Calvary, and they would call upon your name and their name would be written in the Lamb's book of life. Father, we give you thanks and praise on credit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, would you give him a big praise for what he's about to do? All right, here's the deal. We're talking about the big picture. Somebody say the big picture. Lady by the name of Helen Keller, most of you know who she was. If you don't know who she was a woman who accomplished amazing things in her life and was not bound by her own disability. At 19 months of age, she was left deaf and blind from an extremely high fever. And she's made this statement that is so powerful to us. She said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. Now, this is a blind lady speaking. She said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. That means vision is different than sight. I don't have to be able to see with my eyes to have vision. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. I can take my eyes out of the equation. And the reality is, y'all, a man without a vision is a man without a future. I watch companies die. I watch families die. I watch marriages die. I watch children flounder. I watch our nation flounder. I watch churches die at a rate of 1,500 a month, very simply because where there is no vision, there will be no life. We must have a vision that is from God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 in the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Again, many people have sight, but they have no vision. They have no vision for their life. They have no vision for their future. They have no vision for their family. But vision is what God gives us. We need a vision of what God dreams of for us. A clear picture of our tomorrow that assigns purpose to my life today. A vision of who I can be. A vision of who God created me to be. A vision of who I'm destined to be. A vision of who Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and me to become. We must become everything our Father in heaven created us to be. And the reality is that believing in God enlarges our vision. People who don't believe in God have a very limited vision. But when you have faith in God, it enlarges our vision. If you don't believe me, John chapter 3, verse 3. We quote it a lot in salvation. But it says, unless you are born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom of God. In other words, when you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, and you turn from your sin and toward God, then all of a sudden the scales fall off of your eyes and you begin to see life the way God sees it. I remember the Wednesday night that I walked into Heartland Harvest Church in Norman, Oklahoma, bound and broken, hurting, an alcoholic and an addict with a shattered heart, and I was short-sighted, and I lived for the moment, and I lived for the night, and I lived for whatever was in front of me right then. But when the scales came off of my life, all of a sudden everything that had been so cloudy and confusing became crystal clear to me, and I had a specific path and a specific purpose that God had given me in our life. When we're born again, that's what happens. Our future comes into focus. Somebody say, but wait, there's more. It's like the Ginsu Knives commercial. I feel like I'm at the fair. But wait, there's more. What more? Well, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's another dimension of vision that comes upon you. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, on the day of Pentecost, as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the ability, that Peter stands up and he begins to preach to everybody watching what's going on. And he says to them, guys, what you're seeing is what shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Well, what days are we living in? The last days, the Bible says that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That's every person. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall what? See. Your young men shall see visions. I thank God that no matter how old you are, you're young in Christ. Amen. Because even though my outward man is perishing and stuff is sagging and bagging and gravity is taking a hold of you, I thank God that my spirit man is being renewed day by day. That means no matter how gray, how ugly, how bald, how wrinkled you are, man, you look like a rock star on the inside. Can somebody give Jesus praise that no matter how weak you are in body, your spirit can be strong? He said, your young men shall see visions. I heard the older folk shout hallelujah. That excites y'all. He said, your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They're both seeing something. Church, I want to tell you today, we're living in a dispensation of divine dreams and visions where God is revealing to his born again people that where you are is not where you're headed. God is revealing to his people that who you've been is not necessarily who he created you to be. And what can't be done is now what can be done by the power of faith. Faith gives me the power to picture a better future. I love this statement. What I can be begins with what I can see. What I can be begins with what I can see. Our minds are visual. Our minds, God designed them to run on pictures. He gave us the imagination, that place where he paints a picture on our hearts of the future that can be, and it unlocks possibility on the inside of us. What I can be begins with what I can see. And so God knows that, and that's why God reveals things to us and he shows us things. Because before any man or woman did something big for God in his word, he always shows them something. Before God has someone do something, he shows them something. Big lives begin with a big picture. I want you to think about Noah. God called him to build the ark. He showed Noah exactly what that ark would look like. And that vision translated into action. See, vision orients us to a work. Nehemiah had walked by the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down. And he got a vision of what they would look like rebuilt again. And that vision occupied his life and it consumed him and it compelled him to do something. I think about Moses when God commanded him to build the tabernacle. God gave him the blueprint. God gave him a vision. God gave him a picture. I think about David, Steve, when he walked out on the battlefield and heard what Goliath was doing to the children of Israel and heard what he was saying. All of a sudden, he got a vision. I can take this guy down. I can take this joker out. All I need is five rocks and a rag. I got one for him and one for all his brothers. He got a vision on the inside of him. I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane where he walked in and he was pleading from God that this would pass from him. But before he got up and walked out, he saw a vision of himself on the other side of Calvary. And the Bible says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, but for that picture set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And now God has elevated him to his right hand. See, vision gives me the ability to press through what I'm going through today because I know God's got something greater for me to do and on the other side of that thing. And so big action begins with big vision. I think about Abraham. I think about how God showed him in at least three different ways a picture to help him understand what he would use him to do. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He didn't even have a child yet at 75. He said, I want you to get up and I want you to go out of your tent. And I want you to look at the sky. And as he was looking at the sky and he saw the stars, millions upon millions of stars twinkling in the night sky, God speaks in his spirit and he says, I'm going to make your children even more in number than the stars of the heavens. He gives Abraham another picture and he says, I want you to think, Abraham, about the sand of the sea. Now, I don't know about y'all, but in the Middle East, there's a lot of sand. Right? And he gives him a picture of something he can see. And he says, I'm going to make your descendants and your children's even more than the sand of the sea. But he didn't stop with sand. He starts talking to him about land because a group of people that big would need somewhere to live and a place to occupy, a place that would become the promised land, the place where Israel is today that God assigned as their homeland. And God says to Abraham in Genesis 13, verse 14, he says, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. He said, I want you to get your eyes off of where you're at. That's where we go wrong. All we can see is what's in front of us. And he says, Abraham, I want you to look to the north and the south and the east and the west for all the land which you see. All the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And he told them, I want you to go and walk the land. The reason he wanted to walk the land because was the farther he walked, the farther he could see. Can I tell you why Jesus has called you to walk with him? It's because he wants you to see some greater things than you've seen. That means you need to get up and one foot in front of the other. You need to begin following Christ as you obey his word. God told Abraham, if you can see it, you can have it. I'm going to say that again. He told Abraham, if you can see it, you can have it. The Holy Spirit is telling us today, if you can see it by the eye of faith, then you can have it. If you can see it, Victory Church, then you can have it. This is why the Father sent Jesus Christ as an example, so we could see what we were created to be. And when I see it in Jesus, I say I want it in my life because he said I didn't come to do this by myself. He said the works I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these, bigger works than these are you going to do because I go to my Father in heaven. If you can see it, you can have it. Let me give you another story that illustrates this. We find it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, Jesus is moving through one of the cities, and it says, as Jesus went, that two blind men, somebody say blind men. Now, these are guys who can't see. Two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. And he says in verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith. In other words, in proportion to what you believe. According to your faith. He didn't say to my faith as the Son of God. He said your faith. Let it be to you. I love the way the Message Bible says. It says become what you believe. And the Bible says in verse 30. And their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened. Here's what I'm telling you. That these two blind guys could see themselves with vision before it ever happened. And that's why Jesus asked them. Jesus wanted to know, can you see it? Because if you can see it, then you can have it. If you can see it, then you can believe it. And my question for you today, church, is very simply this. What can you see? What is it you see in your life? What is it you see in your future? Faith gives me the ability to see what I'm believing God for long before it ever shows up. I think back more than 13 years ago when this church began with 22 people at 180 Center Street. And I was talking to Scott under the balcony this morning before service. And he's the first one who's ever said it to me. And I was coaching a pastor Friday and I told him this exact same thing. And I said, my delivery has never changed because I see the room full. He said, you preach like you're talking to 1,000 people when there was only 22. Let me tell you why. Because I believe in a big God. And I know my God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know there's 64,000 people between Bradford and Tioga County. And of those people, I'm just believing God for only 10% of them who will come to know Jesus Christ. And that somebody will be born again every day, 24/7, 365, as a result of the message and ministry of this house. Why? Because he's not willing that they perish without it. We serve a big God. Matter of fact, I was at a viewing yesterday and I have people ask me this question regularly and I hadn't seen them in a long time. And matter of fact, I worked there the first winter that I lived here. And they said, well, what's going on at church now? How big are you guys? And that's something people ask me from time to time. And I said, well, we're about 1,000 now. And they're like, are you blown away? And I said, I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised. And that's the way I always respond to people. And I want you to hear me very, very closely. It's not a matter of arrogance, but it's because I believed in a big God from the day we started. We didn't set out to build a big church. We set out to save people one at a time. And there's always room for one more at the table. It overwhelms me when I think about making room for another 800, but I can make room for one. Amen? See, you don't wait until big things happen to begin believing that God is big. Big things happen when you believe God is big. If you can't see yourself free, then you're not going to get free. If you can't see yourself blessed, you're not going to get blessed. But if you can see yourself free, you're going to be free. If you can see yourself blessed, you're going to walk blessed. If you can see yourself healed, I'm going to tell you right now, you can be healed. If you can see yourself saved or the bondage broken or anointed or successful or beautiful or victorious, let me tell you right now, it'll come to pass because what you see is what can be. And God said, if you can see it, then you can have it. I thank Lori about the week before last. She was in my office. And for those of y'all who don't know, Miss Lori, would you stand up and just turn around and wave at everybody? Let them see you today. Y'all give her a big hand. She's the church secretary, administrative assistant, oversees Drive 47 Ministries, does a phenomenal job. Now would you give her a big hand that she's doing big things for Jesus? But she was helping me the week before last put together a notebook, and what was on the inside of it was sketches that I had drawn. Everything you see here, I could see in my spirit years before it ever showed up. And I sketch it out on paper, and I keep them because I like comparing it, because I can hold that picture up that I drew, the picture God gave me in my spirit, and I can see it against what is actually here today. And you've got to understand today that when you have a big vision, it does big things in your life. Whether you're a husband or a wife or a parent or a business owner or an employee, big leadership comes from big vision, and big vision comes from big faith, and big faith comes from believing in a big God. One of our vendors, she was standing there in the lobby a couple weeks ago when he came in and he was looking around. Actually, it was John Wilde that was there in the lobby with me. And he was reviewing some of our systems we have in place. And he says, I'm used to coming to little country towns and seeing little country churches. And he said, this is a big city church in a small town. And I said, that's because God's big no matter where you go. His word works no matter where you go. Isn't that right? We believe God's word works no matter where we are. And so faith fills my eyes with expectation. I begin to look for things in my life that wouldn't show up any other way. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 45. I want you to read it on the screen along with me. You don't have to read it out loud, but here's what it says. It says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel." Now, let me set the scene for you just for a second. There's been over 3 years of famine in the land. They hadn't had rain, not one drop of rain. And the Bible says, "Then he," or Elijah, "bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, 'Go up now, look towards the sea.' And so he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again, go again, go again, go again, go again, go again, go again.' He said, 'I want you to go and I want you to look.' He prayed for something and then he sent his servant to go look for what he had asked God for. And verse 44 says, "Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.' And so he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before you. The rain stopped before the rain stops you.'" Verse 45. "Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and winds, and there was a heavy rain." I want you to see here today that it's what Elijah did after he prayed that proved he believed God would do what he asked. He prayed first and he started looking for the answer second. And that's where we go wrong. We say a prayer and then we go back to looking for the exact same things. He was expecting something to change. He was expecting the answer to his prayer. And when I expect, it literally means to look for as likely to occur or appear. The definition means to look for as likely to occur or appear. He was looking for something to occur. He was looking for something to appear. He was looking forward with anticipation to what was going to happen. And when he didn't get what he was looking for, he looked again. And when he didn't get what he was looking for, Sarah, he looked again. And when he didn't get what he was looking for, Sarah, he looked again. And when he didn't get what he was looking for, Sarah, he looked again. And when he didn't get what he was looking for, Sarah, he looked again. That's where we go wrong, church. You got to keep pressing into God. The Bible says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I take a step toward him and he takes a step toward me. I keep asking, I keep seeking, and I keep knocking, and I don't ever stop going after God with everything I've got. And sure enough, on the seventh time, he said, "I want you to go look." He comes back and he says, "I see something, but it's not much. It's not a towering anvil. It's not cumulonimbus or whatever it's called. It's not a mighty thunderstorm. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "I'll take it. God's on the move. God's doing something big. I don't need to see a lot. All I need to see is a little. A little with God is much." Hallelujah. When we know that God is in it, he begins to do mighty things. And there's a connection here that we've got to make. This is critical because the story I just read to you is referenced by James. James is the head of the church in Jerusalem. He is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He knows a little something about what he's talking about. And in the New Testament, we see in James chapter 5, verse 16, that James points us back to this story. And here's what he says. He says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Somebody say, "My prayers are powerful." Come on, say it like you mean it. My prayers are powerful. I want you to say it like you got a need counting on it on the other end. My prayers are powerful. "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Watch. Elijah was as human as we are. We read these stories and we think, man, he's a superhero for Jesus and I'm a loser. He's a hero and I'm a zero. We think there's something special about them because they made it in the book. Wrong? He says that straight. He said he was just as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. I want to say to you again, what are you looking for? What are you expecting? What are you looking for to show up in your life? There are three laws of expectation you must know. Number one, what you expect is what you attract.
Number two, what you expect is what you'll accept. And number three, what you expect is what you experience. Let me give that to you again if you're taking notes. Number one, what you expect is what you attract. Number two, what you expect is what you accept. And number three, what you expect is what you'll experience. And so I want to show you today how to have eyes full of expectation, because we've got to start looking for God. The first thing you've got to do, number one, is everything you need is already there. This is the most critical thing for a born-again believer to understand after you're saved, is that everything I need, every sock, every penny, every purpose, everything I need is already there. Here's what I mean by that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," past tense, "blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Somebody say, everything I need is already there. It's already there. It's already in Christ. It's already in the spirit realm. The question then is, how do I get it from there to here? And the answer to that is, I do it by faith. In Christ, I'm already complete. In Christ, I have everything I need. I have an inheritance that is amazing in Jesus. And that inheritance is not available when I die, as most Christians believe, but it became available when Jesus died. Hallelujah. So I could enjoy abundant life on earth and then eternal life in heaven. Faith then gives me the ability to see myself living the life that Jesus bought and paid for. Number one, everything you need is already there. Number two, everything God does begins with a promise. Are you still with me? Amen. Thank you for all three of you. Is the rest of y'all still with me? Yeah. Okay, praise God. Because we can just shout hallelujah and go home. I don't want to give you too much. Number two, everything God does begins with a promise. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Watch this. "By which," Anna, this was your passage last week, "by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature." In other words, you might become like God, like Jesus. The promises are our window into God's warehouses, stacked and packed with the blessings and benefits and gifts that Jesus Christ bought and paid for at the cross of Calvary. His promise is more powerful than your problem. The problem is, we look at the problem and not the promise. We get so focused on the problem, we forget about the promise. But there is power and there is potential and there is possibility in the promises of God. And here's what I love about the promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all of the promises of God," how many of them? "All of them are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." God has already said yes to every promise in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, he said yes. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, he said yes. Number three, believers are receivers. Believers are receivers. Number three, believers are receivers. Very powerful. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Again, back to faith before sight. He said, believe you receive it and then you'll see it. Believe you receive it, and then you'll see it. That's powerful. Asking places demand on the power of God's promises. Just like if I have a lamp here today, and I don't plug it into that wall, I can march around that lamp as many times as I want. I can do the Jericho march around the lamp and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to light up. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come on. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the darkness and command there to be light. And if it is, until I plug it into the power source, it's not coming on. And I can get angry and I can get frustrated and say, well, bless God, I don't even believe in power anymore. I don't believe in light anymore. I don't believe in the electric company anymore. But the reality is, until I plug in to the power source, it's not going to release what I needed to do in my life. The promises of God are like a light bulb. It's not until you ask and plug into the power source that they begin to release what God desires in your life. Let me just build your faith right now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Matthew 18, 19. "If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." That's why our prayer team is down here to pray with you every single week for your needs to be met and God to move in your life. John 14, 13 and 14. "And whatever you ask in my name, that that I will do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 16:23. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy might be full. 1 John 5:15. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. Come on, church. It's time for us to stop acting like if God didn't give it to us, he didn't want us to have it. It's time for us to pray bigger prayers. It's time for us to ask bigger things. It's time for us to let faith rise in our heart so that we can reach out by faith and take God's best that was already bought and paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. The promises are mine, not because I deserve them, but because he deserves them. Right. Not because I earned them, that's but right. because Jesus earned them. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. Woo. Not because of my works, but because of his works. He hung there and said, it is finished,
that's right.
so that your life could be full. Hallelujah. I love what John Wesley said. He said, it seems that God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Look at your neighbor and tell him, just ask him. Lastly today, number four, Elijah didn't give up. He looked up. Elijah didn't give up. He looked up. Seven times he sent his servant, go tell me what you see. Go tell me what you see. Go tell me what you see. I watch people give up. They come and they receive the laying on of hands and anointing with oil, and they are believing God to do a miracle in their life, and they think it's all on the person praying for them. And they don't realize that when they walk away, they have a job to do. Just like when a woman gets pregnant, there are two things that must come together within her to create life. But then it doesn't happen overnight. Conception happens, and 9 months later, delivery takes place. It's the same in our life. When my faith comes into contact with the promise of God, I conceive a miracle within the womb of my spirit. But there is a period of gestation where the miracle must grow on the inside of me, where I don't pull the ripcord, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what the report looks like, no matter what news I see or I hear, no matter what I feel like, I'm clinging to the promise that what's going on inside me and what's growing inside me is greater than anything I'm facing, and God is going to give birth to a miracle in my life. And I don't know firsthand because I've not done that, but I've heard that childbearing is kind of difficult. And what I want to say to you today is it's not going to be easy to carry the promise, but it is going to be worth it. Sometimes there's some pain involved, sometimes there's some discomfort involved, but I cannot give up. Those things are just reminders that the miracle is getting too large to stay on the inside, and what God is doing in me is about to break forth on the outside, and then joy is released, celebration is released. I get to see my baby. Woo! Come on, get on your feet and give him praise, would you? Yeah. He's still a miracle working God. Elijah didn't give up. He looked up. See, Psalm 5:3 says, each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Every morning I come to you, God, and I wait expectantly. I have an expectation in my spirit, church. We should be expecting. See, expectancy changes my attitude every day. Expectancy changes my outlook on life, because now I start looking for good things to happen to me. I start looking for God to show up. I'm on the lookout for the blessing of God. I'm on the lookout for the favor of God. I'm on the lookout for the promises of God. I become more aware of the good things he's already put in my life. I believe that God is ready and he's able and he's willing to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond everything I could ask or even imagine, because that's what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says. That's what we believe about God at Victory Church, and that's what we receive from God at Victory Church, because he said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. I was talking to a lady some time back, and she said, I just never believed anything good could ever happen to me. Isn't that true? We have no problem believing bad things can happen. We have no problem believing bad things are going to happen. We have no problem believing God will do nothing. But I come to tell somebody, today is your day to draw a line in the sand and start looking for God to do something. Start expecting and start looking for big things to happen in your life. Start expecting the Bible to become alive to you. Don't let what you've experienced in the past affect what you're expecting in the future. Faith has given you the power to expect something different than you have already experienced. God's future for you is greater than your past. He put your eyes in the front of your head. Come on, church, lift your face and lift your eyes and get them onto Jesus, because He is greater than anything you ever faced.